Yesterday, you talked in front of the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. So how did you end up doing that?
Because I work with a nonprofit, we are a member of Violence Free Minnesota. They reached out to them, who then reached out to our organization to see if anybody would be willing or wanting to participate.
And so I was wondering, why is the Women's Rural Advocacy Program getting involved in driver information exchange after a collision? What's the connection that I'm not seeing?
A lot of times there's unintended consequences for bills or situations, right? One of the things that happens when you get into a motor vehicle accident, right now you're required to give your name, your insurance information, right? But also your physical address. Not only just for victims of crime, but in a day of technology, seems a bit excessive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against a lot of victim safety planning. So victims of domestic violence that have experience working with an advocate or somebody who has safety planned mm-hmm. or discussed options with them, giving out their address to a complete stranger is often the
counterproductive.
Yes. And, you know, until you've worked in a field where you hear the stories, the idea of, well, that stranger has no idea or connections to you, stalking within domestic violence is so much more prevalent, and people would be, and I don't know if it's more common, but it's just more talked about. People would be shocked to see the amount of people that can be wrangled in by an abusive person to help stalk their partner.
At a certain point, it becomes public record. Is anybody who requests it can get this information, right?
Right. So on some level, we do have the Safe at Home program in Minnesota. So the Safe at Home program is an address confidentiality policy program, which Women's Rural Advocacy Program has two assistants to help this process.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're part of the Safe at Home program, your entire address is confidential. You have a P.O. box, a lot number, all these pieces, right?
Right.
And then they get their mail to you. And even the location of the Safe at Home program, which is through the Secretary of State's office, is confidential. This is just another layer of keeping your address safe when there's a lot of agencies and a lot of people that don't even know Safe at Home exists or understands how it functions.
Yeah, see, I didn't. So
right.
You're educating me, too.
And then there's also times where people are overwhelmed or intimidated and they feel that they need to give out their address even if they're part of that program. If an officer comes to the scene of an accident, you just got in a vehicle accident, somebody says you need to give out your address, the fear of not giving out your physical address can
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, there's dynamics and stressful situations, right? So even if they're part of that, if they are given the option to give out an email address while on the Safe at Home program, which is what Senator Marty has brought to the committee yesterday, and they would be less likely to feel like they needed to give it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an extra layer of security.
So what does the law currently state, and what would you like to get it changed to?
So what Senator Marty is proposing, that it's very simple. Right now it states that you have to give your name, your physical address, and insurance information.
To who? To the person you had the collision with?
To the person that you had the collision with.
Okay.
And then what Senator Marty is proposing is that it be physical address or an email address, along with your name and your insurance information.
Okay, so they're technically, the other person, the person you had a collision with, would be able to contact you, but wouldn't necessarily know where you live.
Right, which for many people seems,
even that could be a little invasive?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the idea that they'd be able to, and for many people it would be, you know, still scary to give out the information that they have to. But at least this way, they're not giving out. Victims of crime and all people should feel safe and secure in their homes.
Yes.
It should be the safest place you have. And a lot of times that's not the case for the community and population that I work with.
So when you got up in front of the committee on Wednesday, what was the response from the people? From the legislators? Did they ask questions or did they make any comments that struck with you?
They asked a few questions. More or less that I wasn't surprised. They asked the same question you did about that it would still end up in an accident report. Senator Marty just stated basically that we can only do one piece at a time. So okay. even if we want to get to that point, we would still have to like section it.
Mm-hmm.
Each piece would have to be done. And then they asked if they would, or they stated that they would like to hear from law enforcement on the issue. And then they posed it to the audience to see if anyone else wanted to testify about any of the pieces, and no one did. So they moved on. No one really asked too many questions, and it got moved on to the Senate floor. So hopefully we'll keep moving.
So at this point, it'll be still discussed. Nothing was resolved on Wednesday.
Nope. Just the first step of being
talked about.
Yeah. So now it goes to the Senate floor, and then the rest of the process happens. It takes a while, but it seemed to go over pretty well at the committee.
Okay. Now, I've never testified in front of a government committee. What is it like? I mean, how did you spend your day on Wednesday doing this?
Okay, well, for me, it was a dream come true, which it sounds crazy. My husband was telling me that it's nerdy, but I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also extremely nerve-wracking. I met with someone. Parking in the cities was my biggest fear at first. So I met up with someone from Violence Free Minnesota, and Katie drove me to, we drove over there together and sat and waited. I met with Senator Marty beforehand.
So where did you meet? Where
right
did you go
outside
to?
Of the committee room at the Senate building.
At the Senate building, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we talked about the constituent that proposed this to him,
mm-hmm.
and she was once a victim of crime, and that it went against all of her best judgment, like that gut feeling mm-hmm. to have to give that out. And that's why this all started. And then we went in, and we were first on the agenda, so we didn't have to wait a whole lot. And then we went up, and Senator Marty spoke. He asked me to speak. The committee welcomed me. I spoke. And we're pretty much out of there. But it was still really cool.
And so you walked into the committee room, and did you sit at a table with a microphone in front of you and everything like we see on TV?
Kind of, yeah. So we sat at, Senator Marty and I sat at a table, and then in front of us was like the big rounded, not circle, but rounded okay. table that all of the members of the committee sat at and listened to us. The ceilings are high, there was cameras there was people. I mean, so sort of like you see, it just, I don't think it's as hostile in those rooms as...
You didn't feel like you were being grilled.
No, not at all. And they didn't ask me any questions personally, and only asked two questions of the senators. So it was fairly simple for us. And, you know, it's not like we're asking too much of that. No one's asking too much within that bill. It's pretty basic.
Right now, the way it stands, the way the law currently is, say you're in a fender bender with someone, and somebody gets triggered and just doesn't want to give their information. What is the penalty? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well. I don't know. But I sometimes I don't know if the penalty matters as much as like that effect of risk of security for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't just be victims of crime. Like everyone I've talked to, they're like, yeah, that just feels weird when you say it. Like that you have to give the complete stranger your address.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I imagine, especially with someone who's dealt with trauma or victimization.
Okay. When the meeting was over, what then? Did you heave a big sigh of relief and go out and get something to eat?
Yeah, we went out and I ended up talking to the senator and some other people for a little bit longer about, because, you know, Senator Marty represents the metro area. He's senator for the metro district, right? And we talked about things that victims of crime need in rural communities that often doesn't get brought to their attention there. We talked about the shortages of shelter and how hard it is for victims of crimes when they live in areas like Redwood and the other counties that we mm-hmm. serve, because from Redwood, we don't even have a bus. So if you have a shelter bed, you still have to get on a bus. So that's a 40-minute drive to a bus stop.
Yes.
You know, so like, yeah, I don't think people often think about that. And when we were talking in this little circle of people that were all together, everyone's eyes got real wide when I said, that's a 40-minute drive yet. So if you don't have someone to drive you 40 minutes, you don't go to shelter, if there's even a bed. So it was cool. And then, yes, I went out to eat, and my coworkers talked on the phone with them. I was pretty happy. Called my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before you went to testify, did you feel obligated to do a bunch of homework and just maybe practice what you were going to say a few times?
I didn't, and then when we were sitting out front of the room, I was with Katie from Violence Free Minnesota, and I'm like, do you have piece of paper and pen? And so then I started jotting down all the thoughts that I had already had in my brain of what I wanted to say, but...
Just bullet pointing a few
things.
Yeah,
I was like scrambling to write it down. I'm like, maybe I should have. I'm not so good at the reading off paper. I'm like, maybe I should write it down really fast. And that was the like right before anxiety that.
Well, I noticed that, I mean, for me, it makes a huge difference is before you came, I just got a little post-it note and I wrote a few basic bits of information about you and what you were testifying about makes all the difference in confidence and being able to walk in and talk with you and just that little post-it note of information. Okay. And when will you hear anything about any maybe changes in the law or how will you hear about it?
I will hear about it, but that will be through email threads and keeping up to date on it. Everything moves slow. So, you know, for example, I was supposed to testify on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And got a call on Friday that we were moving it to Wednesday. You know, so there's never a sure answer to anything within the system.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for having me.